What are your thoughts, Jim, for what the Red Hand Commando is asking for here?
I must say, I'm very much with your caller, Brian, on this. I thought he very elegantly gave a very proper counter to the propaganda from Mr. Wilson. To me, it's an utterly obnoxious and absurd idea that organizations, under the guise of claiming remorse, should seek what he described as a place in the sun. Disbandment, if they're talking about genuine remorse, would be far more fitting than attempted legalization. Why should an organization which butchered and murdered wantonly any organization of that ilk for so many years, why should they ever have a place in the sun? What does that mean? That they become legal? Maybe they become a charity? That they become the recipient of hard-earned taxpayers' funding? You know, what is it that gives such people the arrogance to demand a place in the sun?
It means, according to Jim Wilson, that it would prevent other young people entering criminality. It means it would be turning a corner from a paramilitary organization to a law-abiding organization trying to do good for the loyalist community, in his view.
It would hold up a mirror and say, a route to a place in the sun is via the road of paramilitarism, because that's the route that Jim Wilson trod to get to his place in the sun. And of course, the far-reaching aspect of this is that what the Red Hand Commandos, so-called, are doing is they are setting out a template for the provost. Because if the Red Hand Commandos and the UVF and the UDA and whoever else can get their place in the sun by being legalized and deprescribed, then the same follows for the provost. And indeed, listening to that interview this morning, it just as easily could have been Gerry Kelly, IRA terrorist, pontificating and excusing the terror of the provost, as it was Jim Wilson. And it's for the same end of the glorification of terrorism and all the time trampling relentlessly on the graves of their victims. No thought whatsoever.
He apologised to the victims.
Ah, yes. He apologised to the victims and boasted of his terrorism and said that they demand a place in the sun. There is no place in the sun for those who are engaged in terrorism in any legitimate society.
Claire Halley, your thoughts?
To think that they have the right to that just shows how absurd the suggestion is.
Claire Hannah?
Well, I didn't hear all the interview, but I've heard Jim Wilson on your programme many times, and I did hear that very moving call from a victim, and I don't disagree with anything that Jim Allister has just said. De-prescription is a retrospective legitimisation of what people did, and I'd say this about
Claire, it is an acknowledgement that entity, the Red Hand Commando, has so fundamentally changed and has absolutely left all criminality and anything associated with it behind. So what incentive is there for paramilitaries to change if you don't give them the chance to change?
I'll tell you, if this had happened in a vacuum, if we hadn't heard anything from these organisations in 20 years and they'd come out and said this, people would view it in another way. But the fact is, their flags and their emblems are in murals. They don't look like they're talking to me about the futility of war. And as we know on your programme day and daily, there is ongoing paramilitarism. So this isn't happening in a vacuum. So the way I see it, if organisations and if individuals involved in paramilitarism want to come out and talk about what they did, and it is complex and there is a lot to be done, but society has a duty to say, right, if you want to talk about what you did, we'll talk about what you did. And you can't come out uncritically and say that. And nobody is saying that people can't move on and help in their communities. But the fact is, if you've got a contribution to make, there's no reason you can't do that as an individual. There's no reason they do it in organisations like the SOM organisation or apply for a job. But this business where you get a place in the sun, and that is a repulsive term to use in this context, because you're a paramilitary, is completely counterproductive. Another, I mean, And Jim spoke in the clip on your on the headlines there, spoke about needing a roadmap. Stephen, we have an atlas at this point on roadmaps on how paramilitarism should go away.
But do you not distinguish between those organisations, Claire, who have not tried to reform, who have not tried to do good for their community, who are still engaged in criminality, and an organisation where the leadership is saying, we're leaving every bit of that behind. Do you not distinguish?
Well, my reading of history associates the Red Hand Commando very closely with the Ulster Volunteer Force, and I think it's a matter of fact that they had common personnel and they did common operations, I'll use in air quotes. But the fact is, if people have a contribution to make, and this is the same when the IRA told us they'd turned into a butterfly, I said the same thing. If people have a contribution to make, they don't need to do it still as that paramilitary organisation. As I say, we've had dozens of reports and plans and funding for people to go away, and they haven't done yet. So if people have a contribution, apply for a job through the normal channels to be a community worker and make your contribution. And we had another report last week that talked about educational underachievement and inequality. It's my view, see all this money that we'd be putting into loyalist community workers to speak out of both sides of their mouth, frankly, while there's work, put it into teachers. And I think that would be the most meaningful way to tackle that deprivation and to tackle that inequality and to make sure another generation of people. And that's the thing, if these logos and emblems aren't challenged and if society doesn't say, if you want to talk about it, we're all going to talk about it, then we're not doing anything to discourage another generation from thinking that might be a good idea.
Okay, Thomas in North Belfast. Morning, Thomas. You have another perspective on this.
Yeah, Stephen, I think at least there's a lot more honesty when Jim was speaking there. I think one of the main points that Jim was saying that they're keeping other people away from getting it. The only people who have a perceived war or conflict here at the minute is within Irish republicanism. There's criminality within both communities, and which has to be tackled by a PSNA, not by other republicans or other loyalists. And it's stopping people getting involved in this sort of thing. But I think the demonisation more of the likes of a loyalist community worker on the show by some people there from Claire and Jim, more than some of our members of the European Parliament, members of Parliament, MLAs and councillors who were involved in exactly the same mayhem, bombing, murder as the organisation that Jim Wilson was involved in. Some of the callers will be phoning in and tackling Jim on that there.
What's your
for
point?
Obvious reasons.
What's your point, Thomas? Jim Wilson's still
the
here.
The point is, Jim would be demonised more, loyalists would be demonised more for what they were involved in the conflict here than our politicians.
Jim Alistair?
Well, I think I understand the point that's been made. I understand the sentiment that republicanism has had their place in the sun, and shamefully that's because people have voted them there and people have accommodated them through rigged structures to allow that to happen in terms of getting them into government. But, you know, the same opportunity exists for anyone to stand for election in this country. Happily, the unionist community shy away from voting for those with a paramilitary past, and that's why paramilitary organisations haven't flourished electorally. I wish there was the same diffidence on the Republican side of the community when it comes to voting for those with a terrorist past. Sadly, there isn't. But, you know, you cannot deny the fact that the loyalist communities have declined to vote for those who now want to face in their son by another way.
You know, the problem is within the loyalist community and the Republican community, there's tens of thousands of people who were affected by the conflict, by either with their relatives being involved in it. These people are still eligible to vote for any party. They're loyalist ex-prisoners and ex-prisoners' families who would have been voting for the TUV, for voting for you, who would have, and them people are part of this society, whether they like it or not. One of the big problems is that loyalists who are trying to make a contribution here they're made more sinister, if you like, than some of our politicians who are already elected.
Just explain to me, why do we need an organisation called Red Hand Commandos? If it's about community advice, you can get that at the Citizens Advice Bureau or many other places. If it's about advocating, if it's about advocacy for education, you get that in many other places. Why do we need paramilitary titled organisations fronting up as community organisations if their days are gone?
Maybe because of the
because of the
relationships they have, Jim, and therefore the people that who will listen to those individuals. And will not listen to strangers.
It's not only that.
Maybe they'll be made listen by virtue of the authority that they seek to stamp upon their communities. Because I think we all know that that has been one of the nasty sides of paramilitarism that continues to manifest itself in our community. They try to bring their influence and their control the communities. Is that what it's really all about?
We did ask the Ulster Unionist Party to come on the programme today. They won't do so. They've said there's no reason for paramilitary organisations to exist. They also say in their statement that they will work with those who have moved away from paramilitarism and criminality. The DUP, they won't come on either. They're saying that they'll send through a statement. Sinn Féin trying to get us someone.